The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Donal O'Mahuna about herbs and other dietary supplements. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. This week in the news, we have some health tips about exercise, always a good thing. And happiness, actually, sweating your way to happiness, what a visual. This comes from Prevention Magazine, the September 2012 issue. And it turns out that exercise may help your mind just as much as your body. Imagine that. In a recent Duke University Medical Center study that compared the effects of aerobic exercise with those of medications, 156 volunteers suffering from major depressive disorders undertook a four-month course of aerobic exercise, antidepressant medications, or both exercise and medications. Everyone showed an improvement. That's a good thing. And it was within the first 4 months. But interestingly, after 10 months, it was the exercisers that had significantly lower relapse rates than those taking prescription meds. Continuing a regimen on their own extended their positive results, and yet again, we see that exercise does make people feel better and helps them keep that way over time. A little mention, if you're on prescription medications for depression, please do not stop taking them without the advice and consent of your physician. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Donal O'Mahuna is a pharmacist. He actually has a degree in pharmacy that was received in Dublin. He also went on to receive in 1988 a PhD in natural products, medicinal chemistry, if you will. And fascinating combination here. He also has an MA in theology with an emphasis on medical ethics. He's now a professor of bioethics and of chemistry at Mount Carmel College of Nursing in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome, Donal, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy. And just one little correction there is that I'm no longer based in Ohio, but I'm now a professor in ethics at Dublin City University in Ireland.
Wow. Thank you very much for that. Well, tell us a little bit about what has led you to this amazing professional journey. I can't imagine that I've ever met anyone quite like you.
Well, thank you. Well, I was interested in pharmacy primarily because my dad was a pharmacist, and as I went through the pharmacy program, I kind of was more interested in the research and academic teaching end of things, which is why I came to the U.S. and studied medicinal chemistry, which in my particular project involved looking at herbal remedies and trying to identify what potential active ingredients and new remedies could be identified there. And as I was going through the program, I had you know, kind of a belief in God from growing up and never took him very seriously. And I got to know some other people in the Columbus area who held Bible studies in their homes. And so I started attending Zenos Christian Fellowship and became a believer after several months of investigation. And at that point then, others in the church were asking me questions about how do I reconcile issues of science and religion and faith and science and those sorts of things. And so I just began to really investigate the whole kind of area of what how our faith should interact with science. And in the area of pharmacy, I started to see that there were many ethical issues that people were struggling with and looking for some guidance, some help on in terms of how our faith can direct us with genetic testing, things like reproductive technologies. And that kind of led me into the whole area of ethics and bioethics. And then when I started teaching at Mount Carmel, in the College of Nursing there, they asked if I was interested in teaching an ethics course that they were developing, and I really was, and that's when I pursued the degree in theology to get more academic training in that area. And in the years since then, I just have, on the one hand, been fascinated by the many ethical issues that come up in science and health and medicine, pharmacy, healthcare in general, and at the same time have seen that God has been able to use both my scientific and my theological training to, guide me and to use me to help people with some of those issues that they're struggling and kind of trying to see where God might be providing some advice and direction to people as they grapple with these many new technological and old kind of natural remedies that healthcare has available these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to focus tonight on just one of your passions, and that is the herbs and other dietary supplements. And as both of us are pharmacists, I'm sure we've all, both of us and many of us in the field have been asked from time to time, are herbs new, and is this a brand new part of your profession? And my pat answer is no, and yes, as a matter of fact. No being, I can find reference to herbs in the Bible way back in Genesis from the Garden of Eden. And for our listeners, Genesis 1:29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." So really, it's a very old profession. And up till 1985 in the United States, many of the proprietary medications were plant-based. Most of them were. Over 85-90% of them were. Quite honestly, today, the reverse is true. Most are synthetic. But I think there is a wave of interest, a consumer groundswell here, perhaps in Ireland too, I'd love to hear, to go back to the basics of plants and herbs. And we're going to talk about the ones that are evidence-based right out of the gate. So what would your thoughts be? Just maybe a couple of examples.
Well, yes, I certainly agree with that. Kind of quick summary of really the history of herbs and God's interest in our healing and the provision of substances in the plant life and marine life that's around us. And there still continue to be new developments. The whole kind of some of the new cancer drugs were originally identified in plants in recent years. So it continues to be a source of new kind of conventional drugs. But I think the area we want to focus in on tonight are the herbs that are still used as plants in the treatment of various types of conditions. And I think there are many that, I think part of the issue in this area is that there are probably thousands of different herbs and natural substances on the market. And unfortunately, they're not all extremely effective, or they don't all live up to the marketing hype that is there. but some of them certainly do. And I think one good example is that of glucosamine. This is a substance that is found both within our bodies naturally and in many other organisms. And there have been numerous studies done now which have been able to show that it really is helpful for those with osteoarthritis. There have been studies done where they have taken x-rays or taken other ways of scanning the joints as people have taken glucosamine, and they've been able to see real changes to the level of damage happening there, in addition to real improvements when people are asked about their level of symptoms. So I think that's a really good example of one of the natural substances that has been tested, has been really shown to produce benefits, and that that people can find the type of relief that they might otherwise expect or might have thought would come from conventional treatments. And I think we're seeing that other organizations, medical organizations, are recognizing this. So, for example, the International Osteoarthritis Research Society is an independent nonprofit organization looking at the various treatments for osteoarthritis. And in their guidelines, they now include glucosamine as one of the products that certainly has good evidence to support its use.
What's nice about that product, too, is that there are many forms. So the sulfate is one that sometimes affects those with high blood pressure. So one can go to a hydrochloride salt or an N-acetylglucosamine form. A little another caveat, I suppose, for diabetics, be very careful. And know that sometimes, especially perhaps in type 2, glucosamine can slightly elevate blood sugar. And again, as with many of our discussions, we want to make sure that your doctor is involved in the prescribing or the recommendations of supplements, just as he or she would be with medications.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to clarify there, that if these natural substances work, it's because there are chemicals in the plant or the other ingredients that are working. It's not that something in nature is non-chemical, that these are all chemicals either found in a plant or other natural source, or then have been synthesized in a pharmaceutical mm-hmm. company. And so you have to kind of keep your common sense about you when you're using these things, that there is going to be the potential for side effects or for using too much or too little. And so it's really important to consider all of these like you would a drug, and be alert as you start to use them. Watch out for when you might start to notice symptoms that you hadn't noticed before, and that maybe you need to kind of get all of that reevaluated with your healthcare professional.
Sure. All right, let's talk about maybe an example of a supplement in your mind that really doesn't have good clinical evidence or perhaps may even be harmful.
Well, I think one of the ironic aspects of herbal remedies is that ginseng continues to, or certainly has been the one that has been researched most extensively. There's probably at this point thousands of studies have been done with it. And yet it fails to come up with consistent evidence to show that it kind of certainly in the area of boosting people's energy in terms of, that it just doesn't seem to have that consistent pattern. It seems to be just more a substance that some people like, that they enjoy, and that they get a placebo benefit from it. So thankfully it doesn't seem to have any kind of serious side effects, but it always seems strange to me that this one that has got possibly one of the best reputations and was one of the earliest ones in terms of recent interest, and yet consistently doesn't show clear evidence of benefit. I think other areas, I'm always concerned about products that have got numerous herbs in them. On the one hand, I wonder if there's enough of any of the substances in there that they're going to really be of benefit. But there's also been numerous problems with products that contain a lot of different ingredients, and that sometimes other substances are put in there that aren't included on the label, or maybe didn't show any benefit in any other area. I think weight loss products here are particularly prone to that sort of a concern, where many times you really just don't know what's been put into these substances. And so I would much prefer that people, identify single herb ingredients, find evidence as to whether they are effective or not, and then keep to those rather than going with some of these products that put huge lists of different ingredients on them.
I agree, and they oftentimes call that proprietary blend, and they'll give a dose for all of those ingredients in combination, and you really don't know how much of any one of them you are consuming.
Yeah.
Well, Donal, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about vitamins and minerals and some of the current controversy with calcium and others. And if you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. We're talking with Donal O'Mahuna about herbs and other dietary supplements. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Donal O'Mahuna about herbs and other dietary supplements. So, Donal, before the break, we talked a bit about some of the products that may have questionable evidence or may even cause harm, such as multiple ingredient weight loss products. Let's switch gears now and give a couple of thoughts to vitamins and something as innocent and as important as calcium for bone health and some of the current controversy around side effects with that now.
Yeah, well, vitamins in general are substances that we need to have in the diet, and we can get most of these from a good, healthy, balanced diet. And I think one of the areas of general concern with the interest in dietary supplements is that there has been a tendency to think, well, if calcium or vitamin D is good for me, then, rather than having to go through the complications of figuring out what fresh foods I need to purchase and cook and all that sort of thing, why don't I just get a supplement that has got, grams and grams of the material in it? And there can be supplements like this that are the best way to get our minerals and vitamins, but sometimes these products are sometimes they're we take in too much of the substance. But I think also there can be a problem when we fail to address the underlying issue of a healthy, balanced diet, and that I think is often the better way to address these the concerns about good diet, good nutrition, is to ensure that we're getting the fresh foods, the several fruits and vegetables each day, drinking plenty of water, being having common sense about the amounts of calories we take in, and like you mentioned at the beginning of the show as well, making sure that we get regular exercise. But the concern with calcium, I assume you're referring to the study that came out from Germany earlier this year, linking calcium supplement use with those who had a higher risk of heart attack. Again, this type of study is one where it's like a massive health survey that they do, where they look for different things that people are doing that seem to be more common in those who have higher risks of various health effects or disease incidences. And what this study found was that those who were regularly taking calcium supplements were also at a higher risk of heart attacks. So again, I think exactly what is going on here is something that will have to be investigated further. It's certainly not something that I think people would have expected, especially since calcium is such an important part of our diet and important for both teeth and bones, as I think most people would be aware of, but also for the healthy working of many of our organs and particularly our heart. So the concern now would be to ensure that people don't just kind of avoid calcium, but instead look at whether using or getting calcium via supplements is really the best approach, and rather look at ways that we can find calcium in a balanced diet.
As memory serves, I recall that the cap, or the cutoff dose, if you will, and this was in postmenopausal women not taking vitamin D, interestingly, but still, perhaps a starting point would be to suggest not taking more than 500 to 800 milligrams of calcium out of the bottle each day, but finding the rest of the requirement, be that 1,000 milligrams or 1,200 milligrams total daily, depending upon our age, from foods. And of course, dairy is the best approach, but you'd be surprised. As Donal said, there are many vegetables, if you go looking hard enough, that you're going to find calcium in them. You can also find calcium in almond milk if you do not like cow's milk. And surprisingly, there's more calcium in skim milk than there is in 2% or whole. So there's a few options for our listeners to consider.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the approach. And in some ways, I think it's a little ironic that where the appropriate kind of aspect of a natural diet or pursuing natural products can sometimes lead people into taking more and more of these tablets and capsules that have to be manufactured, just like conventional drugs. Whereas, as you say, looking at the various vegetables and fruits that are natural sources of calcium. Even soy can be relatively high in calcium as well, but things like the green vegetables like broccoli and spinach, that those also have very large amounts of calcium in a natural form. So again, that's what I think is really the key to all of this, is to see where we can do a lot naturally without having to resort to tablets and capsules outside of those that really have been shown to be effective, and then by consulting a healthcare professional shown to be important for an individual's general health.
And that certainly includes a pharmacist. And just to piggyback onto your thought, Donal, it's important that we don't buy into all the marketing hype. And remember, I don't think there were any dietary supplement bottles in the Garden of Eden. We had plants and herbs and rich nutrition that's perfection in my book, and something to consider when seeking a health regimen.
Yeah, definitely. And I think to keep in mind as well the whole area of our own kind of spiritual walk and the the impact of stress and anxiety that God wants to, you know, help us deal with, that those sorts of factors are ways that I think the Lord wants to help us with health issues, not necessarily turning to either supplements or conventional drugs except when necessary. And I really like some of the Proverbs. I've been studying those recently, and in Proverbs 3 it says, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So that God is really concerned about our physical health and our well-being, but that it's not just tied in with supplements and tablets, but has a lot to do with the moral life that we live, and whether we're actively engaging with Him and pursuing a relationship with Him, that it's not just good for us spiritually, but actually can impact our physical health as well.
Well, we are, after all, called to be good stewards of our bodies, which are temples of the Lord and the Spirit. We're called to be good stewards of the earth and the fruits of the earth. And I believe that what we've been discussing tonight, those herbs and the plants, are all part of that journey and scenario created by the one above for us and for our delight.
Yeah. And I would just add as well that we are to be stewards of our financial resources. And unfortunately, some people can spend hundreds of dollars on monthly supplies of supplements and not really know if any of them are necessary or beneficial. And unfortunately, it is a challenge to try to identify which supplements are manufactured well or which ones are kind of good value for your money. But it's something that you really do have to pay attention to. And there's one particular organization that I really like. It's an independent group called ConsumerLab.com, who do kind of like a consumer reports investigations on various types of supplements, and they will publish the ones that pass their kind of quality tests and have been shown not to have any sort of contaminants or things like that, but it's something as well that you have to pay attention to if you are going to use some of the supplements that are available.
Very good advice. Well, Donal, we're in the final moments of our show. Please share with our listeners where they can go to purchase some of the books that you've written. You're a prolific author. I want to mention that for you today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, with Walt Larimore, we've published a book called Alternative Medicine, The Christian Handbook, and that's published by Zondervan and is available from Amazon, and I'm sure most good Christian bookstores would be able to order it for you. And then also, I've been developing a website on which I put many of my articles, and I have a new book coming out based on articles I was writing in the Irish Times over the last few years. But that's that website is www.bioethicsireland.ie.
Well, thank you so much. And we're out of time. And I want to thank our guest, Donal O'Mahuna, for being with us tonight. And we're going to wrap up the show with the quote of the week, and it's about nature, and it's from Ewell Gibbons, and I quote, "My love affair with nature is so deep that I am not satisfied with being a mere onlooker or nature tourist. I crave a more real and meaningful relationship. The spicy teas and the tasty delicacies I prepare from wild ingredients are the bread and wine in which I have communion and fellowship with nature, and with the author of that nature himself," end quote. Thanks again to our guest, Donal O'Mahuna, for being with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Doug Portman. Dr. Portman is a chiropractor, and he's going to be talking with us about spine health on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings, and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.